Call to order, Highlight Rural Fire District. Reminder to the public that meetings are being recorded. Is there any public comment on matters not included in the agenda? Seeing as none, highlight consent agenda. Anything to pull, or do I have a motion to approve consent agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Ken?
Yep.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
All right, discussion and decision, RFP for website services.
So the RFP closed officially at the end of July, and then submittals were accepted up until August 9th, and we received 7 submissions.
Cool.
So we have, it's kind of a variety. We have Civic Engage submitted, and their proposal is listed at $14,921.90. We have More Web. With a proposal of $17,360. We have Transform Digital with a proposal of $25,000. We have Innova Solution Technology with a proposal of $23,000. We have TechGenic and there is a couple of proposals that did not include a price.
Holy shit.
And this may be one of them.
Okay, note.
That one I'm concerned about.
Something shorter than the Los Angeles phone book, please. Holy cats.
Do they all include, are we looking for hosting? In other words, they're going to put it up on their computer somewhere?
It depends. They needed to specify that in their proposal.
Kevin Oliver didn't submit?
He did not.
Is he still here?
I think so. We have Planetaria Media. And their proposal is $39,600.
Wow.
This one's got annual recurring services of hosting, so it's $4,301 per year.
Then we have Yodel. Yodel. And they did not include a price in their proposal.
Sounds huge.
And then we have Big Storm Interactive Marketing. And they have a couple of different options to choose from. Their base option is $17,500, and then with copywriting it goes up to $23,000, and they have included in theirs as well annual fees for hosting.
You had a chance to review any of this, you and Chris, or anything?
We have not, no. Technically bids were opened today. So from here, we'll get a committee put together, create a scoring template, review them, and then see what we come up with.
Yeah. Amazing, we get so many.
Well, 5 months turnaround.
Responses for a website. We can't get an architect or an accountant.
Right.
Are these local people or?
San Francisco.
I haven't seen any locals so far.
I think the only local company that I could tell is the one Pete has
Big Storm.
Big Storm.
William Farhat gives them rave reviews.
Man, $39,000.
Yeah, and just so for a reminder to the board, we did budget $20,000 for project costs and capital. So we'll have to take a look at that as we review them as well for some of those that are well above that. But that'll be our next steps, is to do a review and evaluation on them.
Do you have any sense of like how big we want to dive into this, like web streaming our meetings when we have so many members of the public showing up? You know what I mean? Or is this just a tier below that kind of stuff?
Our thinking was a tier below that. It was kind of to take, you know, our website right now is kind of like a military vehicle.
Yeah.
It's functional, but it's not much to look at. And kind of what we were looking at was to go something functional that was also somewhat eye-catching as a recruitment tool. And also, one thing with our website, as a governmental entity, we're supposed to be ADA compliant of our website. So we need to bring that up to standard.
We're not there now?
What that means.
Apparently it has to do with like visual effects, like technically people with who are like colorblind need to be able to read your website that the colors don't.
Got it.
Do we, with each other. Is there like, you know, a web page like whoever hosts Big Skies or something like that that we like that's already created that they just put our info in it or like something that's not?
Yeah, I don't know that we need to necessarily redesign the wheel. I think like looking at a couple of ones that look interesting and kind of at least using that as a somewhat of a base.
Yeah.
Base option.
I mean, like, I don't know if like Central Valley, the city,
there you go.
It's all city. And so it's every, you know, maybe theirs is all connected like the city of Bozeman where they just have someone full time that does it. But I just wonder if there's like another department that already does it for them that, I don't know. No idea. That seems like a lot of money. Like, you know, you could get on GoDaddy and pick a template and upload the stuff yourself for really inexpensive. I know that it takes someone.
Will.
I know it takes someone having to do all the stuff, but
right.
Wow. For your committee, I'm interested in the experience and capability for the compliance stuff.
Okay.
That probably is, and I guess I'd be interested in something that would cross platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not doing the FaceTube and the U-book and the website and that it all crosses over. I don't think we're looking for, I think we're looking for nice, but I don't think we're looking for super sexy.
We're not selling anything. What are we selling?
We're selling to volunteers.
Other than that, the only thing I can think of too.
So
you can't order anything.
We could start selling shirts.
You could.
Selling pictures with the Wonder Dog.
Start selling out Pete's time.
Yeah.
Have an intelligent conversation and dinner.
Don't do gutters.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys figure all that stuff out and report back to us.
Yeah. We'll do.
Then we'll ask some questions and make a decision.
That's awesome though that we got so many people.
Yeah. I mean, I will even say, I mean, while the RFP was opened, the amount of interest was almost overwhelming. Putting it in the Chronicle really gets into a spider web of where that goes. Like companies overseas reaching out and asking questions about
it. Discussion and decision, final budget for fiscal year 25 and resolution.
So you have the resolution in your packet for the final budget. Our numbers that came back from the county, basically we were told we needed to add roughly $130,000to ask for max mills. So we basically just simply replied back to the county asking that we will assign that $130,000 into our capital apparatus fund.
Why is that? Why do we need another $130,000 to get max mills?
Because we have to stay within the 33.3% of our operating, and if we have more money than that than we're sitting on,
they don't like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we can't. We can't ask for the max mills. So the resolution is in your packet to be signed. Otherwise, other than that, operating, we didn't change anything from preliminary. It's still the same.
Cool.
Did I miss anything?
Nope.
Is now the time to discuss the Dear John letter you got?
Yeah, we could talk about that. So this actually just came into us today. But it's from the Montana Department of Revenue. Basically, what they're informing us is that they were unable to get new constructions on the tax roll for the last year. So
they have one job. JJ, one job. We're being governed by a former tech CEO who's supposed to be able to get shit done.
So as you probably saw, there were several municipalities that kind of expressed concern over the amount that they were being told they were going to receive by the state, and then the state kind of came back basically saying that that's true because they were not able to get new constructions on the tax roll. And there's a couple other factors. One is an initial adjustment of the economic condition factor, which adjusts cost values based on the price of homes they're selling for in a specific neighborhood, resulted in lower values of these properties.
Translation. We're getting less money than we anticipated, or we anticipated.
Or does it get made up in 25 when they catch up, or are they just?
So that's what they're saying is in 25 they'll have everything caught up.
Yeah, but we will have lost this year's forever.
Right.
You have an estimate on what that is?
I mean, you can look around the district and what has been built. I mean, roughly we look at 2 years ago should be coming onto the tax roll now. And there's a lot. I mean, I don't know that I could necessarily put it towards a percentage, but we've added a lot of homes, a lot of businesses, and a lot of high value dollar homes that have just been built. So I would say for us, I mean, it could be, I don't know, 15-20% of what we would average, what we would see in a year.
Wow. So this is where they got your house having a problem, Justin, but they were missing a bunch of others?
They said in the letter there that they had so many appeals from Gallatin County and Bozeman that their staff was basically overwhelmed by that. So they couldn't do much of anything else.
Yeah, they have one too many from Cougar Drive.
It was you, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. It's going from $5,000 to $10,000 overnight is just, you know, I don't know. The thing that was strange to me is that they're not supposed to know how much someone buys a home for. I mean, they could go out and look, mm-hmm. right? But they're supposed to be able to have their own. Like forever, it was, you know, value on the street versus taxable value. Taxable value is always a whole lot less.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
that was the word you were looking
their for. Their taxable value being more than retail of what someone could buy it for doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, it should never be that way.
Well, that's what it is right now.
Well, that's why they're
unknown caller
inundated with. Turn that off.
Because they sent out all the things. Hey, this is how your taxes are going to look. What do you mean it's worth $2 million?
So yeah. What's
you want to pay me $2 million for it?
What's the bottom line to us here?
So basically what they're saying is for what we should have seen in new properties added to the tax roll, we will not see until 2025.
Right. We don't know how much that is.
We don't have a dollar amount of what that is. I mean, the good news is for us is, you know, what we budgeted, we're still gonna, at least what is predicted to come in, we're still within our budget for that.
Right. So maybe we'll get a bigger bump in 25 or something.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, for us, we know what we operate on. It just goes to really where it affects is, you know, how much we can save for capital. And like JJ said, we're basically losing whatever revenue that was supposed to be bringing in this year, we won't get.
So, all this big development, new construction, isn't ours. It's going to the city because the city is annexing those properties, and we're not going to see any of it.
No, that's not true. The new construction that occurs within our district, we will certainly see, and there has been a lot.
So how do we see it, even though, so, like when we drive down the street here, the Bozeman city limit line keeps coming south.
Yep.
Keeps coming towards us. And you're saying we're actually getting revenues from those properties that...
not the stuff that's annexed into the city.
Right. Well, that's what's going on with those developments is they're annexing into the city so they can have their water and sewer or whatever, and we lose it completely because we had it at least at land before, but now we have it at nothing.
Right. Yes, we do lose the taxable value on the land that is annexed. But where we're seeing significant growth is in the subdivisions that have been constructed in our fire district.
Like covered by Wrestler. That's...
Right. The Woodland Park subdivision, I mean the White Horse subdivision on Love Lane, the Home 40 subdivision,
right.
All those. And for us, operating on, you know, roughly $2 million, that can be a significant factor for that amount of money.
So... How could they be behind on that stuff? Because, you know, when a guy buys the house for $1,250,000, everybody knows it because it's public record. So how can they not pick that up?
I don't know.
I'm just a fire chief.
No, but that's the weird thing is that they're, like I was talking to Pete Edgecombe, and he's like, they're not allowed to share the data of what the house was sold for. So whoever is supposed to be telling us what our taxable value is, they're not supposed to be going to
Zillow
and seeing what it is. They're not supposed to be able to see the MLS and see what it's listed for. I mean, they could Google it. I'm sure they can. But, you know, its taxable value should be, I don't know what the number is, but it should be less than retail, and it shouldn't be more than retail. But so when my taxable value is 1.8 and but I can't sell the house for 1.8, that's dumb. I appealed it.
Yeah.
And I showed that I, you know, they're like, well, you built a new house on your property. And so then I showed actual cash value because I built the brand new house for $590,000, and then we looked at comps for how much land is, and there's two other homes or two other land for sale in our neighborhood. You know, even if you go on the high end, $400,000, I'm like, I'm still under $1 million. Not 1.8. So, I don't know. Okay. But they said they'd be back to me. They made me send everything in, but I don't know how long that'll be.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that is what it is.
Do we need to change?
Should we sue somebody?
Yeah.
We don't need to change the budget at all. The resolution just includes with the moving the $130,000 into capital.
So, do we need to anticipate that there'll be a shortfall?
There shouldn't be a shortfall because we're just not seeing an increase.
And we didn't budget anticipating that increase.
Yeah, I mean, our estimated increase is 5%. And we are seeing a little bit of an increase just because of the increase in value. It's not great, but... Yeah,
you can still pay on a higher amount until they change your bill.
We'll see what they do.
Point being, is our revenue going to be 3%, 2% lower than anticipated?
I don't believe so. I think for what we budgeted, we should be just fine. It might just come out in the end of the year of what we can contribute to capital. But everything we have budgeted, we should be able to get the funding for that.
Do we need a motion on this one?
Yes.
Do we ever have to worry about stuff that actually doesn't get paid? You know that there's some properties that, I don't know, the guy dies and...
Delinquencies?
Yeah.
There's always delinquencies. I mean, it's trying.
Yeah. So, is it better if we, as a board, use a 98% figure or something?
Well, so the way we've always operated is on kind of the safe end of things. We always kind of budget, aiming a little high, and always aim to come in below. And obviously, when we come in below, that's how we save for capital. Is at the end of the year, whatever chunk is left over, in theory, can go to capital. Now we need a cash carryover to get us till our next year's funds come in. But I think that could be where we're affected. For what we have budgeted, I think we're okay. It's just going to be, you know, when it's all said and done at the end of the fiscal year, what the amount of taxes actually came in for what they predicted. And that just might affect what we have left over for capital.
Do I have a motion to approve
the
our budget?
Proposed budget.
Yep.
So moved.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Signed.
Name Walter.
Yeah, good time to be gone, Walt.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
What a mess this whole tax scene is, isn't it?
As of lately.
I'm still sweating bullets.
You want just one signature on these last two?
Yeah.
Just me?
It's just you. The other one, I need everybody's signature.
Discussion and decision, or discussion replacement of Ray Fire Station.
So we did have a meeting with Think One back in July. It was a good meeting. They were impressed on the amount of homework we had already done by doing our needs assessment, which we had done a while ago now. But we gave them that information, kind of talked about some current fire stations, our current fire stations, and kind of where we envision our future station going. We didn't get much further than that other than we gave them our kind of needs proposal, and they're going to just start kind of sketching it out and bring it back to us of what it could possibly look at. One thing, we don't have to make a decision on this tonight, but at some point the board will have to have a discussion of how much, if there is a number, how much do we want to essentially cap the project at? Like, when we built Sourdough Station, at that time the Sourdough Board said, you know, this shouldn't cost over $3 million, and we came in at we ended up at 2.9. Now those days are long gone.
Wish we could build for that.
Yeah. But, and I think a good starting point is, you know, what they can actually come back to us. If they come back to us, just as an example, of $12 million, and we say, well, that's way too high, we need to be at, you know, eight, then we can go and start figuring out where we can remove things, change things to get that number down to the correct number.
Some of that, I guess, will depend on the bonding we can get, right? The price of that.
Yeah.
What did Fort Ellis just build for?
Roughly $8 million. Yeah.
Wow.
And we're thinking this is just the residential phase.
We're going to do it as a phased approach. Yeah. So they'll design kind of the whole thing, but it'll have phased approaches to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. So you're happy with them so far?
Let's repeat.
So far, so good. Yeah. Now we're just kind of waiting for them to bring us back some more information.
Sounds awesome.
Cool. Fire Chief's report.
Okay. So last month of July, we ran 59 calls. And at the end of July, that brought us to 418. Roster still sitting at 43 members. Our volunteer command shortages. It's kind of still taking a hit before we start going back up. We had two hopefuls, like I kind of mentioned in the past. One, we had lost to Bellingham Fire in Washington. Our other hopeful has now gotten a job with Livingston Fire and is relocating to Livingston. So we unfortunately lost those two individuals. We did find out one of our current captains has gotten a job offer with another fire department. That doesn't necessarily mean that we'll lose them, but that has yet to be decided on their part. We still do have a plan, starting here in the fall to bring in a new crop, bring up our next round of captains. It's something we've been talking with them for several months now. And our hope is still to be able to, get them trained through the fall, shadowing, during the winter. And hopefully, as we get into late winter, spring of next year, then have them promoted and on the street. It is, I will say, I mean, fully admitting it, it is a concern that we still are losing the people that we have, and for us, it's always a factor that, you know, we have a lot of people who want paid fire jobs, and that's what they apply for, and that's what they go for. And that opportunity has been showing for some of them as of recently. So I am just as starting to create a backup plan in the back of my mind, playing with some schedules and stuff. If we are, my kind of tipping point's gonna be, if we're not significantly improving by the end of this calendar year, is to really start looking at what we're gonna do going into next year. The three paid captains have been doing the overtime shifts, which we budgeted for. And that's helped Chris and I just from a mental state significantly. But it's something we just keep chipping away at. I still think there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's just, we got to get there. And we need to hopefully the folks that we're training, there's a couple of them that are, you know, they actually own homes in Bozeman and have careers here. So we hope that we don't have a risk of losing those people, but some of the people that we are bringing up or looking to bring up are in that college student kind of transient state of life.
Do you know what it costs us to train a lieutenant, train a captain?
That's a good question. It roughly takes, so Mac and Chris do the academy, do the training. And I would say it's probably roughly 80 hours a person. And we do it in a class, so that's not individual, but it's probably 80 hours to get that training completed. And then depending on the call volume we can get them on, the shadowing is another piece of it.
A few years ago, there was an institution that said, hey, you know, we train everybody and then they go to blah, blah, make more money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the training costs, yeah, we've got to figure out what it costs us to train these guys. And I think that's a part of it.
It is, except it's a volunteer system. If you were going to keep them as employees, that would be a cost.
Well, a captain is different.
It is, but that when you don't have, when you're not...
when they're volunteer.
When you're pushing our volunteer system, which is short-term college student, which is where we get our thing, that's a perfect outcome. That mm-hmm. they are so marketable mm-hmm. when they get that educated that they're moving on, because we're not hiring them and we're not picking up the salary and wages and all that. So it's, I don't know if you can measure that the same as you would if you had an employee you brought in from a puppy and you were going to keep them for.
Well, I'm just asking the question. Is there something that we should be, I don't know, doing it differently or something? I don't know.
I mean, I will tell you, if you really look at the cost model of what it costs to train our firefighters and our officers for the time we keep them, I mean, it's a very, I mean, we just have a very rapid turnover just because of our demographic.
Well, I want to assign a pretty high value to our training. Not that I'm selfish or anything, but I think a lot of our department here, and I think some of the kids are getting training here that they can't get at some other. You have to go a number of hours in Montana to get something that's as good.
Well, mortgage when they get their career job.
Yeah,
you got to pay back, buddy.
So,
and we do. I mean,
can we get some boots for the cars.
We've done it for several years now. So everybody who goes through academy, right, is trained to a firefighter one standard. Technically, we don't certify them for a year, and that is kind of saying you're not going to finish academy and get a Firefighter 1 certificate and then leave. That if you want that Firefighter 1 certificate, you're at least going to be here for 1 year.
If we get, you know, 3 additional years after training, if we get 3 years, I think we kind of come out even on that, probably. But on a captain or something like that, I don't think we do.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, even our captains, say if they stay for 5 years from the point they join, and at 3 years they can make captain. And at that 3-year mark, if it takes 6 months to train them, I mean, that's a year and a half that they'll be a captain for us. And what I've talked with the staff is we've got the building firefighter piece down. Like, the amount of people we're training and bringing in, like, we have no shortage of firefighters. we just need to start to replicate that in our officers.
Yeah, it's, that, a, it's a leadership component where we're...
Right.
Yeah.
And we're making an investment in them.
Yeah, it just comes down to their volunteers. When opportunity knocks, they can't stay here for nothing.
I mean, at a certain point, you know, the calculus becomes, do we just go ahead and bite the bullet and build out that paid leadership core cadre? Mm-hmm. So you stop this churn and you just concentrate on the volunteer firefighters. Because, yeah. I mean, what you're saying, Ken, and I'm sure Brian and the crew see this, it's terribly frustrating when you put this effort into training a captain. And then, I mean, we celebrate them going on to pay things, but we're just churning people out,
mm-hmm.
which again is great for their human capital development, but doesn't do much for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to, you know, figure out what our investment is and amortize it over 3 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, but you can't force them to stay, right? I mean, they can't sign a contract as a volunteer saying you're going to stay 3 years, they're going to go on with their lives.
If you want to be a captain, we can put this...
I just don't think that works.
Yeah, and what do we mortgage against them as a volunteer?
Yeah. You know, the other model is you've asked the Littleton Fire Department, hey, we spent $110,000 training this dude for you.
Mm-hmm.
Chip us back something, which they wouldn't do either.
Right.
Think, right.
Yeah. Central Valley tried that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
What we're buying is Big Red going out the door and competent command.
Yes.
Which is our basic service delivery. And without the command piece, could we reevaluate what that looks like and build? You're putting firefighters through quick,
mm-hmm.
right? Is there a better way to put the command guys through? So it's not 3 years you have to be here. It's based on purely competence. You come in here and you're sharp and you can pull off, then you can ride the red fire SUV
yep.
instead of riding backwards, which isn't as much fun.
Yep.
But there's organizational things to look at that way, especially, and you guys said it. So we're cranking out firefighters. We need to manage the first line tactical leadership.
Yep. And we are seeing, I mean, the improvements that have been, I mean, the next piece is our residency program, which is full, you know, from one that was at 50% a year ago. That is, I mean, that's really our best gauge on who those next people are going to be, is when there's no better way to gauge them than when they're living in the fire station, taking advantage on going on a lot of calls. We can evaluate them on a lot then because they're on a lot of calls. So the fact that, and it's encouraging, we're finally getting to a point now where the residency program is full, and as we're going back into the fall, of potentially actually starting to create a wait list again to get into the program.
But some of your guys, even if we had full-time hireable positions, they may not even want to stay here. They want to go to whatever department that's huge, right?
Yeah, it's about finding the right people. Like, you know, hiring Mac, who worked in a big system outside of Denver and much prefers...
Works 7 days a month.
Yeah. Much prefers working in our type of system where, you know, they get some variety. They get, you know, they're doing command, they're doing their training, maintenance job, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And a big piece of that is, yeah, that you can always get those people who want something bigger and better, but as your leadership and as your administration, you can do a lot to keep those people happy and make them understand that the grass is greener here and it's not always greener on the other side.
So if we talked about the core model, like was mentioned, how many more full-time people would you need and then still have a couple volunteer captains?
So the idea I have kind of in the back of my mind is what we talked about a little bit going into this year's budget year of hiring an additional 2 FTE for 2 more people. And then building, and I think I had that built out of a rough schedule where we could still do it with 3 volunteer captains if we had an additional 2.
So then you have two full-time people, and then knowing that your three volunteers, you're going to continually have different volunteer captains that may not stay forever.
Yeah.
But then you have longer-term core.
Yeah.
Well, you have all your paid staff, too, which
yeah.
I would argue that keeping them their hands in the tactical business is pretty critical to the health of the agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many beds were you proposing at Ray, if we ever get that off the ground?
What we have in our need assessment right now is in station here, like what we have dormitory style is six, and then trying to build six kind of separated studio apartments.
So we're almost getting close to doubling our live-in.
Oh, for surely at Ray, because we only have four right there, right. Four there right now.
But you look at that, too, and say, that could be a piece of the infrastructure
mm-hmm.
that encourages that. I would suspect your captains are, like you said, the live-ins and the guys that are guys and gals that are just ate up with it.
Yeah.
And refresh my memory, so the December Christmas break budget and the budget that we just did for volunteer or for paid staff overtime,
mm-hmm.
what's the total of both of those?
Both of those? The overtime total is $160,000. The holiday staffing, do you remember what it
was? I want to say it's about 60.
It might be 60, yeah, somewhere around there, 60, 70,000.
Yeah.
And a full-time employee is 160 with benefits?
Our captain level right now, I put it at about 125, 130.
With benefits?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back to this whole conversation again.
So talking about stopping this and maybe looking at two more full-time people, and then would that solve the December and
it would solve the overtime for command. It doesn't necessarily solve the holiday issue.
Okay.
Because really, what we're paying for is one person.
Okay.
You know, on duty at a time, where with that holiday staffing is getting us two to three on top of a command person.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're
paying to put our finger in that dike.
Yeah.
You know, every single year, and maybe it's time to just bite the bullet and hire a couple more FTEs.
Well, that's where my feeling was when we came up with this last time.
Yeah.
Is let's hire two more people. And the talk of the board, you know, I think Walt was like, you know, let's not put something permanent of hiring an FTE, you know, but with how the valley's growing, let's hire two more people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's good arguments on both sides, but what I don't like hearing is the frustration in Brian's voice about this churn in leadership, you know. It's just... we gotta have good leadership.
Yeah.
Climb back here. That's what keeps everything right.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers happy if they've got good, competent leadership.
It's not a great business, right?
I think
the whole business is not a great
in the next
business
budget cycle, I think we're there.
I know we're not the first.
Well, so we just did this right now, so
hold on and say, what are we doing?
I think that we need to move forward with that.
But we have to.
Well, we would have to budget.
This is the budget for when, though? That we just signed.
For this
when's our,
so
when's that start?
It already started.
Okay.
June. July 1.
July 1.
It'll end June 30th of 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, but so if we're already at 160, just the overtime portion, and if you kept the 60 for the December,
mm-hmm.
and if we kept that just for that December, but you have your 160, but we need to get to...
Yeah, I mean, we could move monies around in the budget next month if we wanted to, but I mean, we need to have Walt here to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, that back of your mind plan, if you're
mm-hmm.
just maybe we just move that forward in your thinking a little bit.
Yeah. And I would, I mean, if the board can.
So you need to come up with another 90 grand, and then we have two full time people if we're going to 250.
Feels like
so.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know that we're just kind of having a discussion, but just my opinion, I think that that'd be valuable to you. We still don't know where the heck we're going with Fort Ellis.
Right.
Whatever the heck's going to happen there, you're going to need more people anyways. I think it'd be awesome if you start the ball rolling on...
People are expensive.
Just my own opinion. But
it sure is seeming that way.
Come up with another 90 grand, no big deal, and you have two more people.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, and like I said, my plan is to hopefully get through December 31st and see how the new training's going, how that group is progressing.
Does it make sense to not have two on at the same time, and maybe you add one right now with the thought that you add another one the beginning of next year, just so that you have the time to train whichever person up, so you're not training two people at the same time?
Possibly.
Just like if we did a correction, literally you add something now, or start looking for someone now, knowing that in the spring we want another one.
Yeah. I mean, I would tell you, and we have to put it out openly, but we could easily hire somebody off of our current roster right now that would be interested in that type of
position. That sounds like a massive win.
Yeah.
Someone that knows the culture, don't lose another person that might be looking. So
that's what bothers me is we train these people, we like them.
I just feel lucky.
And you know, so what's the, like,
it's overwhelming sometimes.
The profile of a person, a volunteer who says, I want to be a captain? Do you know that they are looking to, it's got to be a career choice, that they're looking to do this?
You know, it can be. I mean, for some people, they can join the department. You know, they're going to school to be an engineer, whatever it may be, and
right.
A couple months in, they decide this is an awakening to them, and they put the pedal to the metal and,
right.
And you know, become a captain in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it is difficult to gauge. I mean, there's some people who walk through the door who want to be paid firemen that just have absolutely no drive to kind of put the effort into making a good reference for themselves.
So we send her to Bozeman.
How?
There's going to be a bleep in the recording on that one, Ken.
Beep.
I think Justin's making a lot of sense. We need to have Walt here. Just maybe we put this back on the next month's agenda item. You know, staggering that hire makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, get one person in early. That's basically got zero cost to the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a cost, but...
And just thinking about training.
And what I'd like to see, Brian, is like, tell us, you know, so one FTE does this, relieves these stressors. Two FTEs, stagger, is going to do that, relieve these stressors. Really let us know, like, what problems we're taking care of here.
Yeah. I mean, because the two FTEs and making it work with three people is also changing the schedule of our current three to... Because what we're starting to do is basically shift their schedule so they're overnight and still make it work for what their job duties are during the day.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, let's put that back on the agenda. I think that'd be awesome. Anything else with the chief's report?
Well, that's item number three.
Okay.
Like I said, the residency program is back full again, which is just great to see. No changes to our non-resident staffing. Training is still the same. We'll be starting the Fall Academy here very soon. Catapalooza's Friday. And interviews are next week. And we actually already have a pretty good pool of people to choose from. I'm still really working heavily with different people in the county looking at this EMS program. Last month in July, I went to Coeur d'Alene to look at their system. which is one of the models that we are looking at as a potential for our county. But it's one of several options. But no decision to be made or anything. It's just researching still at this point. Still involved with committees and boards. Chris and I are still heavily involved in the fire council. I did fulfill a position with JJ on a county incident management team for Trump's visit that occurred in August. I was the fire EMS hazmat branch director. Ambulance transport is still going on. I will say Cheryl and Chris are angels among us when it comes to our billing process. That we are making money, I mean, which is good. But it seems like every month there is something that comes up that is something we didn't realize or something that was brushed over in the past of something that we have to clarify or fix on a form.
So Pentler's not helping with that, or is it?
They're helping.
Yeah. And we did, I believe we did really well. We garnered over $54,000 in revenue.
For this year?
Mm-hmm. So I would say that nets about 30 is when we took, you know, looked at the expenses. That's rough, but there was an issue with the deposits going to the county and working with the county.
To get it back.
We found a lot of deposits. We found, like, last week,
Sheriff's office guys.
Yeah. Small wins, but.
I mean, if you guys aren't aware, there is, and Cheryl found this out, there is hundreds of deposits sitting in the county coffers that belong to a local government that they just have not gotten to who it belongs to.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've lost it.
It's not lost.
Because we don't have our own bank account, right?
No. Not technically.
We're sort of not allowed to, I don't think.
No, it's underneath the umbrella of the county.
Yeah.
So a deposit could potentially come into the bank account, but there's just no identifying if it belongs to Highlight or Central Valley or Middle Ark School.
Yeah. Wow.
It's all over the place. So
that seems to be a significant
problem.
Yeah.
This isn't a money-making enterprise for us. It's just that we want to be reimbursed for our equipment
cost and people. Yeah.
And
it's healthy, I think.
Yeah.
I don't see any issues in regards to that.
Yeah, the program as a whole, I think, has done significant, has benefited our agency a lot. I mean, our people are actually really happy to do the work. They enjoy taking people to the hospital, getting more patient time. I think we have actually improved our patient care with our people because they're not being dealt with somebody from AMR who's overworked and underpaid. So they're treated, really the best they can get. And we are making money on it. I mean, we're not getting rich off of it, but it is doing as what we would hoped it would have.
It's covering our costs.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
As long as it's
working just like we thought it would.
Yeah. As long as it's volunteer labor.
Thank you, Cheryl, for standing on all that.
Yeah. I don't want anybody to think we're making money on it.
We had no firefighters injuries, thankfully, in the month of July. Engine 6-3, which I mentioned last month, had a catastrophic fire water pump failure.
Is that one of the twins?
Yes.
Yeah.
It has ended up costing us more money. I mean, we don't really have a choice. We need that truck. We need to fix it. The new ones aren't here yet. But it's up to roughly $7,000.
Seven or 70?
Seven.
Seven.
Did any parts appear suddenly and with catastrophic velocity?
It's actually, oddly enough, as Colin started to tear apart that pump, the trucks are 20 years old, you would think, but some of the parts are no longer available that are on those trucks. So they had to be kind of aftermarket ordered to get them back together. But I will say it's up to $7,000, but if you want to know Colin's worth, if we would be having a third-party company doing that, we'd probably be close to $70,000. And just the amount of hours he's got into that thing of talking with Waterous, who's the manufacturer of the pump, figuring out what parts need to be ordered, and doing the labor of taking it apart. So
those trucks are,
yeah,
at least 20 years old.
20 years old. One was in service in 2003, and the other one was in service in 2004.
Wow.
So maybe Teamsters here so that we can get somebody from UPS to find us some parts out there.
And as you guys all know, when Colin told Waterous the pump hours, the hours that the pump has ran, their response was, that cannot be right.
You've set a new record.
Right. Exactly.
Do we have an hour meter on that pump?
Yep.
So we know exactly what
we're doing. Because we actually trained.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
They say that a lot about things that happen in this county. Really?
Yeah.
We're the only ones that do that, you know?
Colin and myself were just in Appleton, Wisconsin last week for the print approval of our new engines. So that was kind of the last step before, kind of like buying a house, I signed my name a lot. But the trucks are now signed off on, estimated to go into production in January or February, with the completion date looking at the end of March.
Nice.
So,
pretty happy with the specs and how they're looking and the company and all that stuff.
Yeah. The only
it's Appleton. They don't care if you like it or not. This right. The event will be.
Yeah, I mean the delays in production have been kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
You know that they had to extend their delivery time, and to me kind of gave a mediocre response of why they did. I am happy with the design. We're really looking forward to, you know, engine 6.1, which we bought in 2019. You know, during a print approval, these two, we're going from twins to triplets, that these two new trucks are going to operate nearly identical to what the truck we bought in 2019 is. And for our department, that is going to be a huge savings in training time.
Yeah.
Because they learn to run one and they can run three. So that'll be huge.
Nice. Excellent.
And that's the Chiefs report.
Nice. Thank you. Trustee activities?
And Walt is not here, but we are still kind of chugging along with Fort Ellis. We obviously met with them couple weeks ago and discussed some of the concerns with you know, working with them in the debt process. It's still obviously a possibility. It's just how that is carved out. I know Fort Ellis is meeting next week to directly talk about kind of just their future and what it looks like for them to be their own fire district versus a joint effort with another area. I have been kind of being a salesman, if you will, for us to explaining what I foresee is our real benefits of working together. And like we talk about with staffing, I mean, that it increases the workload a little bit, but not to amount that, you know, we're going to need to double our staff or anything. Adding a few more staff becomes a lot more reasonable when we're covering a larger area.
Another one of those pesky captains.
So there is still interest on their part. So we'll keep working on it.
Cool.
Yeah, I still think, you know, for me anyway, just speaking as an individual trustee, I just need to understand better the operational benefits. Mm-hmm. Like what you see as cost savings, efficiency savings.
Yeah, and I'm actually, I don't have it done yet, but since our meeting, I've been kind of going through, you know, like, you know, it goes into, you know, we're duplicating bookkeeping, we're duplicating audits, we're duplicating, you know, tracking softwares, we're duplicating training efforts and kind of knocking that out into more of a cost dollar of what we could each potentially save if we were operating together.
Mm-hmm. Announcements?
Pancake breakfast. Put it on your calendar, September 28th.
And next board meeting is the 20th of September, is that right? No, the 17th.
Yeah.
17th.
What's good for me?
September, I'm sorry, I got distracted. 28th for the pancake breakfast?
Correct.
I do have an idea for the pancake breakfast I would like to try this year.
Waffles?
No.
Yeah, I'm unless a waffle you want to
operate a griddle, a waffle griddle. No, my idea was to start during the event, advertise, just call it Coffee with the Chief in the conference room here. And my thought was kind of doing 2 one-hour sessions of just to tell people, hey, come on in here, let's sit down and talk about what fire service is and highlight and what their concerns are, start kind of putting some bugs in people's ear of the future and what things we're looking at.
I think this is a great idea. Would you like a board member to join you or not?
If one would like to, that would be great.
What time does the breakfast start?
7.
7.
The farmers are here at 6:30. For those that are left in our district.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great thing to do.
I was thinking 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Going 8 to 9 and then 10 to 11.
Yeah, if I'm here when we get a little bit closer to the 8, I'd be happy to sit in on one.
Yeah.
17th for the next?
17th for the next meeting.
7 a.m. to what time?
11 p.m. is when it ends.
No, for breakfast?
11 a.m. is when it ends.
Okay, thanks. Cool. All right, meeting's adjourned.